Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
KSC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Still super pumped about those Stars. They've really turned it around on the road. They lost 8 of their first 12 road games. Since then, 9-2 in the past month or so. So let's go Stars. Now, let's go Corey Majors because it's time for the C Block.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that introduction. And I want to start things off with Tom Brady on the call. They go to Nick Foles, and they show a shot of Nick Foles, and Tom Brady said, hey, this is how I actually feel about it.
Super Bowl MVP led to that Super Bowl win. Who did he play that game? Do you know he played that game? I love you.
Nick, I don't hate you. I'm just jealous of you. You caught it. I didn't.
You know who he does hate in that moment? His broadcast partner. The way he goes, he hates that guy in that moment.
It is amazing to me. It is amazing to me how those greats take that stuff, even after their careers are over with, still take that stuff as a, you're taking a shot at me for this?
Yeah.
I don't know everybody who beat Tom Brady.
Eli obviously, and Foles.
Right. Those are the only ones in the Super Bowl.
Okay, yeah.
But
Peyton Manning.
Like right now, we are 7 years into this, and he is in his fifth Super Bowl. Only Tom Brady twice and Joe Burrow have figured out how to beat the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Like, when they do that joke, I'm thinking to myself, that was before the Kansas City game, but I'm like, you can only do that with two human beings. You can do Tom Brady did it in Patrick Mahomes' first year by a coin flip. That's all. It was an offsides call and a coin flip. And then you have Joe Burrow, who was able to win in overtime against Kansas City. And that's it. Those are the only two humans, Brady and Burrow, who can actually say they've beat Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game.
I do think Brady has become more likable since he's been on the broadcast.
Heck yeah.
There's a likability factor that.
No, he doesn't bother me at all. I've been surprised, and maybe it's just because people critique every single thing, but I'm surprised that so many people have kind of dumped on his commentary because it hasn't really bothered me.
I've thought that I'm getting, as he's thinking through games, as he's thinking through scenarios, he's like talking about it. He's gotten better at that, I think. Early on, he didn't really give that. I think Mike does a wonderful job on the baseball play-by-play of what's the pitcher thinking right now. Whenever the third baseman does this, what's he thinking? I think Mike does a wonderful job at focusing in that moment, what's happening in the game. And I think Brady's done a better job of that lately. And so whenever it got close, here's what it takes to be a champion. He knows what excellence is. He absolutely knows better than anybody.
And it's not an easy job. And for football, I get sometimes you get to call two games a week. But a lot of times you're calling one game a week. Yes, you get a couple preseason games. But you're only, like, so far Tom Brady's called, I'm going to guess, 23 football games in his life.
Yeah.
I do think he's good at it. I think Romo has moments, because my son was asking me as I was like doing the fake Jim thing. I don't know what they're going to do here, Jim. They're Jim. And I'm like, I actually do like Romo in moments. And then there's other moments that I don't. But I in general, I do like most of the people calling NFL football games that we get to listen to from the Cowboys, because we're usually getting the A team. A few times you get the B team. I have no clue who called the Washington game. I didn't turn that one on for 1 second, the last game of the year.
That was Brady and Burkhart, right?
They had to do that.
And I got to say, I don't think, I definitely don't analyze the announcers the way other people do, because I just don't.
You don't care.
I don't think they're as important for the football product just for me. But I know a lot of people, it matters a lot.
There is a delicate balance for former players of telling stories about their career and telling things about what's going on in the game right now. That is a very delicate balance. And that is, again, there are some players that have been on the Rangers broadcast that have been like, okay, look, I get it. But you got to be able to,
and maybe
to
baseball,
balance both of those. That's a talking man
sport. We're doing 162 of them also.
And you might have an hour of you have to fill.
Corey, because you said that, I will admit one thing that stood out for me yesterday. is when Josh Allen threw the ball down the field because he saw the penalty flag already. And Tony Romo was like, hey, I don't understand why he did this. This game's all about mitigating risk. And I remember I was walking into the kitchen and I go, oh, mitigating risk, huh, Captain Turnover? What are you even talking about? So I will admit, in that moment, I did get pulled offside.
Troy Aikman had a higher turnover to touchdown ratio than Tony Romo, I bet, though.
Factor in the eras in which they played.
Super Bowl championships. As we've been keeping track of, I kind of went with this a little differently. Rushing winners and passing winners. The Philadelphia Eagles, 229 rushing yards, 13 rushing first downs in this game.
Man.
By the way, I want to point out, they had 229 rushing yards and 230 passing yards. That is exact balance.
That is amazing.
Obviously, Will Shipley helped out with balancing that out with his big run.
It's also too many yards to give up if you're the other team. You're like, we're probably going to lose.
Washington had 99 rushing yards and 4 rushing first downs. Kansas City, 135 rushing yards, 10 rushing first downs. Buffalo, 147, 10 rushing first downs. That scenario, Buffalo did not win.
Yeah.
But the numbers for rushing yards were still over 100. And, like, that's a big factor for both of those teams. And that's two quarterbacks that do frequently like to air it out.
But Washington had 9 penalties, but only for 47 yards.
Hey, that's not that bad. Usually I feel like you're trending towards the 100-yard category.
They had 4 penalties for 4 inches.
Yeah. Like, somebody was asking, hold on, how do you break that down? And I would love to see that as like 9 penalties for 47.12 yards. And you're like, I guess.
Would you like the hits or misses from the weekend first this
time? Give me the hits.
Yeah, the hits. Honorable mention, welcome Xavier Worthy to the playoffs, sir. 6 catches, 85 yards, and a touchdown. And as Mike said earlier, they don't try to make him a one. They know what his gadgets are, and they're like, we'll just use those as our best, and he makes explosive plays happen.
I think they did a great job during the regular season. They were pushing him to do more, and then they backed off of it going, okay, this is probably too much, and I always forget his name. They screwed up that. I don't want to say they screwed up that one kid. He just was talentless. The little kid they drafted who they thought would be the next Tyreek Hill and is – and not even
Sky Moore.
No, Sky Moore. Yeah.
Right. And they tried and tried. And he was just, I don't think he was smart enough to understand NFL. And then two, I don't think he's talented enough to do it. He is fast. Good deal. You can run fast. And that's all that kid could do. But I look at Worthy and there were things where you're like, God, that was probably his fault in week 3 or week 6. Now they'd still win the game, but I think that they figured out over time, all right, what does he do well and what can he understand how to do well? And I think they've done a great job as time has passed giving Worthy specific plays that work for him. But I do think they're going to try to expand him again next year.
Oh, yeah. And I think it's important that he's done the same thing of letting them know. I mean, it's like that Derrick Henry story with Nick Saban, right? Where he's like, they're asking him to do pass protection. He's like, when I was in high school, all they did was hand me the ball and say, run.
Yeah.
I have no clue what pass. Yeah. Can you just give me a minute to learn this and then I'll let you know. Honorable mention also Will Shipley for a huge 57-yard run, 3 kick returns for 88 yards. And he also had 2 tackles on special teams. So he was doing everything. Congratulations to Will Shipley.
That is pretty impressive.
Number 3 on the hits list, Jalen Hurts, 246 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 rushing touchdowns. So 4 total. I mean, I got to give him credit. Like, you got to give him credit for what he accomplished. He looked better in the passing game than he has most of the playoffs. And in the running game, like that touchdown, that first one that he ran in, I was like, God, that was magic, man.
I know we'll do this next week when we're in New Orleans, but if there's one team that seemed to stop that 4th and short, it seemed like Kansas City made Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills' life very miserable on those just quarterback sneak situations.
They loaded it up real nice in the front there.
Plus, even when they didn't stop it, the refs were like, you stop it.
Number 2, Saquon.
Hey, you shut your mouth. We're in another Super Bowl. 5 out of 7, man.
Number 2, Saquon Barkley. 118 yards, 3 rushing touchdowns. That first touchdown set the tone for the entire game. That was a special one. And when you think you've tackled that guy, he proves that you can't.
Can I add on a bizarre miss to that game?
Yep.
55-23 was not a scoregami.
I know. That is weird.
It happened once before, like in the 80s.
Kevin, I haven't gotten to the misses, though, yet, so you could have waited. That was one of my honorable mentions.
Be patient, man.
Appreciate it. Okay. We haven't gotten through the number 1 hit yet.
Hold on. Is that really?
You said you wanted the hits.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You didn't say misses. You said the hits.
Play the hits. Play the hits.
Number one, hat trick Mahomes. He doesn't lose. 245 yards passing, one passing touchdown, two rushing touchdowns. One of his rushing touchdowns was special, too. If he wins his third, we will refer to him as hat trick Mahomes from now on.
He's the best, slowest quarterback at running the ball ever. He's not fast.
Yeah, I get
he has a long stride.
Yeah, he's like a almost a 4.66 or a 4.7. Like that was at the combine when you're going to try to be your fastest and you train for that. And now it's 7-8 years later and you're like, he's not fast, but he's so smart.
It anticipates. Yeah, he anticipates.
It makes him look smart, faster. Yeah.
He anticipates where pressure's coming from so well, then that's what helps him escape. Now, sometimes it does affect him because he's like, I think it's here. And then he turns around, he's getting sacked. But yeah, man, you're right. He doesn't look like he's going to run away like Lamar, but he gets yards. He gets the important yards.
Or Jaden Daniels. That was a very nice run he had when he scored that touchdown.
Yeah.
And he just zigzag, and then he's like, you can't catch me. But like somehow people can't catch Patrick Mahomes, and it's like, I don't think he's running very fast, but they don't seem to be able to get an angle on him.
Jalen Hurts is a very smooth runner, and I want to say that Mahomes is smooth, and that's like Juan Gonzalez was a smooth runner. You didn't think he was fast, but you're like, look at that leg stride right there. Misses over the weekend. Kevin, there was a scorigami.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I'm just joking. I didn't have that. Josh Allen. I don't think Josh Allen had a bad game. I think that moment was lost, and that drive was bad to finish that game. So, Josh, and again, I think you're right.
Use your
Mike.
Running back.
Yeah, I think you're right.
He played great.
This is a bad era for these three quarterbacks in Burrow and Lamar and Josh Allen.
And unfortunately, they're in the AFC.
Yep.
You know, it'd be one thing if one or two of them were in the NFC so they could at least get to the Super Bowl. But unfortunately, he's just not letting them get there. And Tom Brady didn't let many people get there. So you've literally had since about 2001 to 2024, just these two quarterbacks dominate so much in the AFC.
Other honorable mention, Kevin, is James Cook. What a freaking game by him. 85 rushing yards, two touchdowns, 3 for 49 receiving. Every time he gets to the sideline, he squares his shoulders up and he goes.
Yes.
And that, like, I always think that he's out of bounds, and then he picks up 30 extra yards. I'm like, what just happened?
He's like, I'll be on the sideline as long as you want until you hit me.
He does not, like, he gets to that sideline. A lot of people don't tiptoe it very well. He does a great job at it. Number three on the misses, Austin Eckler, Jeremy McNichols, and Luke McCaffrey all had fumbles and all lost those fumbles. Those fumbles in that game against Philadelphia, you can't come back from those.
No.
Those are bad things. You can't. And this is four teams that had not turned the ball over the entire playoffs, and right out of the gate, they were fumbling away.
Especially when you're the like theoretically inferior team, you cannot lose the turnover battle.
What really stunk is there's nothing you can do as a coach. I get it. We talk about this. We'll talk about it with Shoddy and stuff when the Cowboys turn over the ball. Like, what are you doing as a coach? Well, Quinn even said at halftime with this, he's like, the turnovers are killing us. And they still did it two more times. So he let the team know, if we're going to come back in this game, 27-15 at half, I think was,
I believe
or might have been
correct.
12, but 27-15. He's going, if we're going to come back, guys, ball control. We got to make some big plays and we got to hold on to the ball. And they still didn't do it. So even when you tell guys, this is the only way to win, and it's still not that they were intentionally fumbling or doing. It's just like, for some reason, all they had to do was punch. And Eckler, they didn't even punch the ball. They punched his opposite hand, and then he knocked it out himself. And I'm like, dude, I'm watching, like, nothing against Eckler. I don't know him that well. I know his career, the Chargers, and now here. But I'm like, dude, how come quarterbacks protect the ball better than you do?
Number two, Dan Quinn on the misses. And for two reasons. His decision making, he went for it twice on fourth down and then goes ahead and kicks a field goal on the first drive.
Yeah.
After you're driving on this team, and I know it was tough, Brady kept saying it, they're fighting for every yard, but you're winning that fight. Give your team that opportunity, because Sales gone after Saquon Barkley then runs, breaks one off on you on the first play, and now you're back out there. But the other thing on him, yet again, Dan Quinn defense cannot stop the run. Dan Quinn defense gets run all over.
That's for dang sure.
And they gave up,
Eberflus is going to fix that here.
Is that 86 points they gave up in the playoffs to two teams, to Detroit and Philadelphia? That's 86 Yikes. Points. So that's a tough one right there. Number one, Dalton Kincaid. Catch that ball. You're a hero. Maybe.
That's
maybe
a good point. Especially if it leads to the win. Like, if you can get a touchdown and just bleed the rest of the clock out. Oh, my gosh. That dude's an icon in Buffalo.
But another winner, though, Kevin. Let me tack on another winner here. Too. Us.
Ooh.
All the fans that got to watch the that game, I thought that we got what we wanted. We got really good football games this weekend, and I thought that was worth it.
There was a little part of me that wanted them to just kick a field goal there so we could get the overtime, and so then they could go out and have the overtime game that forced the rule in the playoffs and be like, let's see what happens now. And
so I'm wearing my Chiefs hat.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say there were multiple times in that game that I wanted Buffalo to do something to just keep it going.
Yes.
Because I know I'm watching the two best in the sport.
Yep.
One that always wins, the other that is trying so freaking hard to beat the best ever. And even when he dropped that ball, and I know that the Chiefs are probably going to win at that point, I'm thinking to myself, gosh, I kind of wanted him to catch that ball so I could see the greatness of both guys keep going after it.
Kevin, the other thing, and this is just for you.
Ooh.
This is for you because I know you brought up college basketball earlier, and I wanted to get to Providence. Have you heard about what happened with Providence and Georgetown?
No.
Georgetown.
I like the way you said it.
The fans of Providence showed up 2 hours early in the freezing cold weather just so they could start F. Ed Cooley chants inside for two straight hours before the game, the coach at Georgetown. And then on top of that,
were they saying that or were they saying Fed Cooley?
Oh, yeah, maybe so.
Can't rule it out.
And then at some point, a student was ejected before the game,
man,
because he stole a basketball off the bench and took it to the bathroom and hid in the bathroom with it. Like, that was going to cause a problem for the game. Security.
It's $100 ball.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Your ticket was $10. You got a $100 ball, I guess.
Security just go. They're like, hey, where'd this guy go? They go find him in the bathroom, and he's just sitting there huddled up holding a basketball trying to keep this game. Like, just trying to. But you got to love college basketball for that kind of stuff, right?
That's amazing.
Stupid, weird stuff happens all the time.
I want to be there for that story afterwards. Oh, how was the game? I got kicked out before it started. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's do some NFL overreaction or reality right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Whole season for Buffalo on the line here. They come. He just desperately throws it up in the air. Incomplete. Kincaid was right there.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time for some NFL overreaction or reality. And we start with a question that Corey said, if you don't start with this question, this segment is nonsense. Overreaction or reality, you bizarrely enjoy knowing the fact that Dan Snyder hates how good the Commanders got without him. Did you see this article?
No.
All right, so ESPN, Seth Wickersham, and Don Van Natta Jr. were involved, and essentially it's just got sources that he effing hates it how good they've gotten straight away,
because he knows he was the issue now.
Yes, that is part of it. And then the other thing is, it said that Daniel Snyder is actually not a, like, across the board sports fan. He was just like a Commanders fan, and so that probably makes it even worse. So overreaction of reality. You take some bizarre level of enjoyment out of that.
Absolutely reality.
Me too.
And for any of the owners that treated their fan bases that way over that period of time, if they were able to move on and they were able to do something like this, I'd feel the exact same way.
I mean, I might tick some people off here, but it shows what the issue is here.
Sure.
Washington proved that then it'll never change. You're going to have to deal with this till there is no football anymore, is the Jones family's the issue. It's not Shoddy. It's not Mike McCarthy. We know what the issue is, and then it was proven in Washington.
Man, and so the other thing that came out about this that was pretty amazing is, I guess they got text messages and, like, insiders recounted what happened. And when told that he might still face a fine, Snyder said, there's no way I'm paying it. And then went on to, when it was time to sell the team, he said, I don't want to do this. And then it was 1 a.m., 2 a.m. It got later in the evening, or I guess in the middle of the night. And he refused to hand over the keys to the stadium. And so when they were like, well, people are going to go in there. And he said, I don't care. It would be trespassing if anyone goes there. It's still mine.
Okay.
That's amazing.
I want to have keys to a stadium.
Yeah.
How cool would that be?
That would be super cool.
I do need my card.
You don't even have a card to get to where you work. I can't trust you with stadium keys.
I know. But like all the people with the Rangers, they have a little card that kind of gets them into the stadium.
So you just need to follow those people everywhere.
Yeah, pretty much.
You're like, going to lose.
When I see Jose Guzman, like he parks near me and I'm like, Jose. And then he's like, yeah. And then I'm like, oh, good. Because I was going to have to go to the front and do all kinds of stuff. And that way I just walk behind you.
NFL overreaction or reality. Saquon Barkley choosing the Eagles will get him into the Hall of Fame.
Man, I think it's reality.
I realize injuries played a big part of this, but I mean, I can't imagine this season have going much better for him.
I will add this though. McCaffrey looked like it was that much of a change.
We're cycling together
for their team, and then he got hurt, and now we're looking at him going, huh. Barkley's done that much, made that much of a difference to this team. He definitely has, but they ran into the Chiefs. Like that Niners team ran into the Chiefs. The Eagles are going to run into the Chiefs. So if he doesn't win and he's not the MVP, how much does it help?
Yeah, that's my question. Is McCaffrey a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
Well, then I don't think
yet.
And that's the thing about Barkley is he has not had a Hall of Fame career. He had a Hall of Fame season.
So I guess let me amend the question. This move will put him in the Hall of Fame. Like, not saying right now, but his pivot, them being so good, him being a big part of it, will put him in the Hall of Fame.
I will lean to no.
Okay.
Because of this. He's dealt with injuries his whole career. This was like the year. Everybody thought going to Philadelphia, he would be great in the games that he could play in. I don't think he's going to stay healthy the next 2 to 4 years to just repeat this season enough to be a Hall of Famer.
Now, BetMGM had a really interesting note. The most bet player to score a touchdown was Saquon Barkley. The most bet player to score the first touchdown of the game was Saquon Barkley. And one of the most popular prop bets was 23.5 yards over under his biggest rush of the day. He cashed all three of those on his first touch.
Nice.
That is unfreaking believable, yeah, man.
As a daily fantasy player.
That's right.
You have to feel good whenever your player does that on the first play. The first touch.
On underdog, it was only 19.5 yards. And you better believe I said, I think it will be higher than that. All right. NFL overreaction or reality. And this comes from Howie Long. So I'm intrigued y'all's thoughts about this. All but 5 teams in the NFL would trade their quarterback for Jaden Daniels. So Howie Long's going through the list, and he said the Bills, Ravens, Bengals, and Chargers are the only ones who wouldn't do it, and we'll get to that. I assume he was eventually going to say the Chiefs. He did not list that 5th team. Feels safe to say it's the Chiefs. But the Bills, Ravens, Bengals, Chargers, and Chiefs are the 5 teams that would not trade their quarterback for Jaden Daniels.
Corey, I would say take the Chargers out. They would do it, but put the Houston Texans in. I think C.J. Stroud, I know he didn't have the best sophomore season, but he's still on a rookie deal. He's proven a lot in 2 years. Herbert is now on the, I call it max out contract. He's on the big contract, so it makes a lot of sense. I can have 4 years approximately of just first round pick money instead of 50 to 60 million. So I hear him. I understand what he's saying, but I don't think the Chargers, but I do think if the Texans had the deal to do, I think they would stick with Stroud and say, we think they're very even.
Yeah.
We're going to stick with the guy who's done what he's done for us.
Did you say Broncos?
Nope.
I would put them in there. I think at this point, I think that Sean Payton's in love with that quarterback.
And that quarterback specifically.
That one. He kind of targeted him even before the draft.
Since you're going there, do you think the Bears think they made a mistake and chose the wrong guy?
Good question.
Ooh, that is a good question.
Because we can look at Bryce Young, and that's easy, right? We can be like, dude, we took somebody too small to play this sport.
I think you can go ahead and add him into the mix, too.
Okay.
Because first season, and then like now they've recalibrated their whole team now because they changed their head coach. So I think that you can add them into that mix. I don't think that they're walking away from it going, damn it, we should have gotten Jaden. I think they're looking at it going, man, we got to really do better for this quarterback.
NFL overreaction or reality? And this is a big step here, so I'll explain why I said this. Jalen Carter is the heir apparent to Aaron Donald. Now, Aaron Donald himself was talking about how Jalen Carter's played, not necessarily yesterday, but leading up to it. And he said, I haven't watched football like that in a long time. That guy, Jalen Carter, bro, my replacement is here.
He is a wrecking ball. Him and the other thing, do not take anything away from what Jordan Davis does next.
Absolutely
to him.
Not.
He's got the quick burst that puts offensive linemen on their heels immediately. He can pick you up and push you into the backfield. Actually, I think I saw Jordan Davis do that to one of the Washington guys too. He can the power and quickness and speed that comes along with him is something you just don't find in a lot of places. I was always kind of surprised Aaron Donald's strength and power in that he looked smaller than most of the offensive linemen, but he was still just wrecking those guys. So yeah, Jalen Carter's special, man. It's sad to hear that line replacement for him, and you got to face him twice a year.
What did he do up to the draft that had him drop? He did something
racing
off the field.
Yeah, because remember, Georgia's had a whole line of people who have had issues with that. I think Jalen Carter was involved in an incident, though maybe not driving, in which somebody died.
Because he was going to be a top three pick, right? 1, 2, or 3, and then he fell to 10-ish.
He was 9.
9, okay, thank you. You probably just said that. But
No.
I just remember that draft going, oh, this dude who was...
Or maybe he was driving.
A woman seriously injured in the January car crash that killed Georgia offensive lineman Devin Willock and an athletic staffer sued the school's athletic association defensive tackle Jalen Carter for damages.
Okay, so he was one of the people driving. There's multiple people, and I think the idea was they thought they might have been street racing, if I remember.
Victoria Bowles was riding in the back seat of the rented Ford Expedition driven by Chandler LaCroix, who died also while racing Carter. So they were racing against him, and they died. They were over 104 miles an hour. But like you said, that was something that was going on in Georgia Georgia for some reason. They were all doing
it. By the way, that is still an issue with Georgia vehicular problems that they have. All right. NFL.
Grab the speed limit, kids.
I mean, that is fair. NFL overreaction or reality. Josh Allen will not beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs.
Reality.
I know it's tough to say.
I thought this was his best chance too. And that,
sure.
that all of I these games that. They played have been close and fun. All of them. I've loved every one of them. Mahomes just comes out on top with these. So it's reality. In his brain right now, he's got to be like, what else can I possibly do?
Yeah, this was not good for the rest of the AFC to see this happen, to just reinforce. It's kind of the Tiger Woods effect. I know he's on television behind us right now. It's like you get into the final Sunday with Tiger and he has the lead, or you're going up against him and you just see maybe Tiger takes his game to another level or the other person drops their level for just the pressure of the moment. And I don't think Josh Allen dropped the ball and didn't play well. I thought he had a very good game and threw up a Hail Mary that could have, should have been caught. But I will go with he'll figure it out. Like, there's going to be a game. They're going to put themselves in a situation. And as much as I love the Patrick Mahomes-led Chiefs, they're going to lose every once in a while. And if they both play another 10 years, then there's going to be one time where he overcomes this situation.
Do you think, I know we talked about how Josh Allen played well. I was going to just ask, I wanted to dive into the minutiae of their scoring this year for just a second. The Bills scored 30-plus points in 12 games this season. That's the most in franchise history. They'd been averaging 31 points per game. I know he was right there, but when you look at what the score was, does not getting that extra field goal or whatever, do you think that's an extra knock against him? Because you're like, you played well, but you were still a tiny bit below your average for the season, which would have almost gotten you there.
Maybe. I think more than anything with the knock against him, Kevin, is going to be just the... I think people are just going to look at the L's. More than anything else, I think they're just going to look at, was it an L? You needed this. You couldn't get it. And while it is a team sport, the quarterbacks, live and die with that stat.
By the way, I don't think we got a chance to mention this earlier. Todd Archer did say this weekend that the Cowboys interviewed Andre Curtis, and Curtis had been, he had coached the safeties for the Bears the last 3 years. So,
dude, I'll be honest, they were good.
Yeah.
Like, so that's a good, and Eberflus, obviously, in that conversation, too. Their defense was stout.
It would be interesting to see the swap of, all right, we're going to take him. You guys got Al Harris. I know that's not really how it works, but that would kind of fascinate me.
I will be very interested to see how this team like plays ball control in the future and allows, because Caleb Williams wasn't great this year, but those games were always pretty close.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see how Eberflus handles that.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Here's Tress Way. Oh, it's a fake. We're going to throw. He's got a man wide open, and it's caught. Sit it. The third tight end. What a fake by Washington, and the rookie delivers for the drive continues.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan right now, courtesy of D&M Leasing. It is time for our chit chat with those fellas from the G-Bag Nation. Gentlemen, how is he today?
I'm good, Hagee. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. Was there a point, or when was the time that you thought, hey, I think Buffalo is really going to win this game? Like, they're going to figure out a way to get it done and make it to the Super Bowl. Or did you just think, yeah, I'll believe it when there's no time left on the clock. I'm not buying it.
You know, when we got into the fourth quarter and Buffalo still was, you know, right there, I thought there's a chance, you know. But by the end of the game, I thought, man, I guess I shouldn't think there's a chance. Like, Spags has the answers, this defensive talent, and Mahomes will do just enough to, you know, get him across on the scoreboard. It's just unbelievable how inevitable this is starting to feel, that, you know, Kansas City will figure out a way. But I did feel like it was in doubt there, you know, for quite a while, even before they got that final first down.
Yes.
You know, I thought Buffalo could still do this.
I have to admit, just a little bit, I was rooting for Kansas City to kick a field goal with less than a minute left on the clock. And then I was like, all right, Josh Allen, Mahomes took it away from you with 13 seconds. Now you're down six. Let's see what you can do.
Redemption. Yeah. I mean, when they force Kansas City to settle for the field goal.
Yeah.
And it's like, you got 3+ minutes or whatever, your timeouts, and Josh Allen, this is your time to go rewrite the wrongs of the past. And I thought there was a chance. I mean, especially with that first play, he takes off and just runs for like 25 yards or whatever. It was like, oh yeah, it's almost like he kind of kept that in the barrel a little bit. But the scrambles and stuff like that, late game situation, that's so, so hard to stop. And I was surprised they didn't even give James Cook the ball at all. Like,
yes,
every time he touched the ball, even when they were throwing it to him, big gains. And you had so much time left. Like, you're kind of like thinking, I want to score, but I also don't want to give Mahomes a single second of opportunity here either.
It felt like they fell victim to the exact same thing that happened to Baltimore the week before, when Baltimore is like, oh yeah, we got a running back that can do stuff. And then Buffalo's like, you saw that happen, right? And then they did the same thing.
But man, Spagnuolo and Andy Reid, both of them,
unbelievable.
Just when in a high leverage, must have it moment, they've got the call ready to go. They are as prepared as ever. When it's 3rd and 9 and you need this first down to ice the freaking game, and ended up needing 2 first downs to ice it, offensively, Andy Reid's like, yes, of course I'm going to throw the ball here. I'm not going to play scared and just run it. You use your timeouts and punt it back to you. I have a play for this. He ended up having 2 plays for this on big third downs. And then Spags the same way defensively. These guys are just, they're Jedis from the sideline.
Broadus, one of the things that Andy Reid came out and said in the lead up to this is, he's like, look, I love having him as my defensive coordinator, but he really needs to get another shot as a head coach.
Yeah.
Do you think he, I know it's late in the process, so it feels like maybe not now. Do you think he eventually will get another shot to be a head coach?
You know what? I think he's in a really good spot, you know, and there's really no reason for him to leave. I'm sure he would like another opportunity to be able to do something like this and you know, be a head coach. It didn't go well for him. But can I circle back to what you were talking about earlier?
Yeah.
The thing that he does in that cat blitz, corner blitz he brought on the last play, it's like something you haven't seen the whole day.
Yes.
And he saves it. And that's why when you play Kansas City, you're terrified.
because you know he's going to save something. It's very Bill Belichick-like. You're going to save something at the very end that you have not seen all day, and then now it's going to happen. And I think that's where he's getting to be that kind of status of the great defensive coordinators that manage to have something left that you haven't seen, and then it's the difference in the game. And so, yeah, but he's in a really, really good spot with Andy there. And I you know, if he gets another opportunity, great. If he doesn't, I think he's just fine.
It's kind of funny because I was thinking props to their offense, too, by clinching the game, by throwing the ball to somebody that you hadn't seen all game either. And you're like, all right, so we can do that on both sides of the ball. It's freaking amazing. Is your instant analysis that the Chiefs are inevitable? Or do you look at Saquon Barkley doing whatever the hell he wants and you're like, we got ourselves a hell of a game?
I think it's going to be a hell of a game, but I do think Chiefs are inevitable. I mean, it's like yesterday I put out never bet against the Chiefs and then give me the Bills, right? So that's kind of how it's going to be. I could see how the Eagles could match up, and I think they can run the football. You saw what James Cook was able to do.
Yep.
But I think at the end of the day, you've got Spags, best big game defensive coordinator probably in the history of the sport. I think he's overtaken Belichick for that throne.
Wow.
And you got Mahomes, so you're going to find a way to get it done.
Yeah, you know, I could see the Eagles defense keeping Kansas City, you know, into the mid-20s, maybe low-20s. So how many big plays are you going to get from Saquon Barkley? You know, I think that is such an X factor in this. You know, an 80-yard, you know, touchdown run from scrimmage, it just seems like something that is so low in the probabilities, but it keeps happening.
Yes, right? First touch is 60 yards. You're like, oh, my God.
And for a team that's not going to make a bunch of explosive plays in the passing game, you get a couple of those, and now I do feel like Philadelphia has a chance because of Barkley.
And just for the Chiefs, they had not scored more than 30 points all year.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the game where that is absolutely the mark you need to get to, they're like, that's fine. No problem. It's truly incredible to see the way they win. Like, Mike sent me a text and said, and this was when they eventually kicked the field goal, do you think they could bleed the time down and leave less than a minute left for Josh Allen to score a touchdown? And I know they didn't, but my response was, if anybody can, they can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have absolute belief in that.
Well, they have no fear of throwing the ball late in the game.
Which you love.
Which, you know, and Tony Romo even said that at the end. He says, hey, they're not going to hand this ball in there and let it be third and long. They're going to throw it right now to try and end this game, and they will. And that's what Andy does. I mean, it's what you have the confidence to be able to do that because they've been able to deliver before.
I mean, it's the great play design, but I also feel like Mahomes is just at his absolute best when they need him. Like, the decision-making and the ball placement is going to be there. Eric had some stats, you know, last week that this is just what they've been doing. Or maybe it was Zach. I forget, guys. But, you know, Mahomes elevating his play. The Chiefs offense the playoff, at its absolute best by a very substantial margin once we get to this stage in the year.
Kind of feel like Mahomes would have thrown Mark Andrews a catchable ball.
Yeah. How much does your heart break, though, for Dalton Kincaid, who made a heads-up turnaround? My guy's under pressure.
I think the more unbelievable play was how the quarterback got rid of it.
Yeah, I know.
That makes sense. They absolutely did not block anybody on that right side. Yeah, I mean, they had four dudes not block anybody on that particular play.
And he was like, you know what? I'll get it in the general vicinity.
There's
and he did.
Very, very few quarterbacks that have the talent to be able to, like, launch that thing. At least get something on it to give them a chance.
And these are the kind of things that over the years will get lost in nuance. Like, in 10 years, I don't think you'll look back at that. You'll just see Chiefs, Bills, LLLL for the Bills. And you won't be like, well, man, he made a hell of a throw off that pretty much uncovered blitz to get it to somebody who dropped the ball. You're just like, he lost all those games.
Yep. Yeah, he lost. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
They're all, like, all the games, I think the total point differential is like 5.
So you think that these quarterbacks that Patrick Mahomes is beating are good and great, and it's just going to be unfortunate, their history?
Oh, no. They're going to be Hall of Fame guys standing up there without Super Bowls.
But
no.
I just know he's knocked out the two MVP guys.
I know 25-year-olds think that, like, Michael Jordan beat all trash players, Gavin. Yeah. Gary Payton was trash.
No. These guys are – he's beating good
– But you get what I'm saying is, unfortunately – 25 years from now, there's going to be 20-year-olds, and 25-year-olds go, well, yeah, Patrick Mahomes won all this, mm-hmm. but everybody was trash around mm-hmm. him. It was just all trash competition he was facing, because that's what we have to deal with as Jordan fans, is yep. everybody was trash in the Jordan era. He was just lucky.
At least there'll be YouTube videos you can go back and watch. Like, I proved to Bennett that Freddie Mercury was damn good as a lead.
Hell yeah.
And I showed him Live Aid, and he goes, wow, this is pretty impressive. I said, yeah, that's Freddie Mercury.
Hell yeah. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold, as always, thanks for asking. Yes. Hagee, reaction to the press conference right out of the gates here. John owning at 4.
All right, I'm looking forward to y'all's thoughts on that. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say goodnight, Kevin.